It is good to see you, and we're glad that you're here. I would venture to guess that many of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ may show up at 12 noon when we're getting ready to leave, and if they do, we could always stand up and give them a round of applause. I believe some folks have forgotten to set their clocks forward, but it is good to see you, and we're glad that you're here. And Heather and I are going to be with you today, and then we will be on our scheduled vacation next week. It's a vacation that we've had scheduled for close to a year. Last week, we were gone a little bit unexpectedly. We just had some things going on. I had some things going on, and life was just getting immensely stressful last week, and I just needed to take a little bit of time away. And in the course of that, Heather's uncle very tragically was killed in a home accident, and we dealt with that all of Saturday and Sunday and Monday, and we just thank you foremost for your prayers and your concerns, and I know Heather and her family greatly appreciates that in the midst of such a very tragic accident. So thank you for your prayers, thank you for your love. Next Sunday, Brother Rob Patterson will be preaching for you, and he is our Kentucky Baptist Convention Regional Coordinator. Brother Rob is a wonderful speaker, and I know that you will be greatly blessed by the message that he brings to you. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. The book of Matthew, chapter 11, I want to read together verses 28, 29, and 30. I really don't have an entitlement for today's message, but it's one that I thought a lot about over the last 2 weeks because it is so pertinent to my life and some of the things that I struggle with as a human being, first and foremost. And part of it is based a lot on my personality. As you know, I've often admitted from the pulpit that I struggle at times with anxiety, and it's something that gets me down from time to time, and sometimes that anxiety produces a great stress for me. I work in a career that is very stressful, and I've always been really blessed. I feel like in the career that I work in, I manage stress really well. I'm able to handle emergencies in a very professional manner and able to do that without a lot of stress. But a lot of times my stress from my career is something that I see that happens after the fact. I get stressed out and have concerns about things long after they've already happened and taken place. So I encourage you, pray for me. You know, pray for me. I love you all, and I pray for you, and I encourage you to pray for me as I, you know, continue to do and work my job and the stresses that are associated with that. But another one of the things that I have not had the stresses of over the last several years is being a pastor. You know, coming back into ministry, it is reminding me at times how stressful that it can really be. Because why? Because I worry for you. I worry for our church. I worry for the life of our church. I pray diligently about it, but I worry about our growth. I worry about our revival. I worry, you know, is God going to continue to show favor? Am I doing what I need to do as your pastor? Is the leadership doing what we need to do as your leadership? There's times where I sit down and think about those things, and it just stresses me out. I'm not going to lie to you. It stresses me immensely from time to time. And I encourage you, pray for me as your pastor, as I pray for you, and as I pray for our church, that God just grow us and do great things in the life of our church. Enough of that. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. We're going to talk about how we manage those stresses and what Christ gives us assurance in. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 9, and 30. If you don't have a reading of the Word of God, it'll be on the screen for you. Please stand with me as we give honor to the reading of His Word. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Christ says these words. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity that you've given us to come here and to be here in your house, Lord, to fellowship here one with another, just to come and to read your word, to fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, to hear and to learn of a message, Lord, that I know that each and every one of us needs to hear. Lord, I know that there's not a person here who's not affected by life stresses. Lord, many of us are facing tragic situations. Lord, many of us are dealing with loved ones or may personally be dealing with long-term sickness and illness. Lord, we know that there are many of us who face stresses with our work, stresses in our family, uncertain home situations, Lord. There's just so much that we could talk about that each and every one of us are impacted by. And Lord, sometimes those life stresses can burden us to the point that we become ineffective in our services to you. Well, Lord, Father, I pray that today if there's any of us here, Lord, who are so burdened and so stressed that we just feel like that we can't anymore, then, Lord, I pray that we take a comfort from your word here today as you tell us that we should come and we should put upon your yoke and know and understand that burden is easy and light, and within you, Lord, we find rest, not just physical rest, but, Lord, that we find a spiritual rest for our soul. Lord, I pray that we never become so busy in this life that we forget about the goodness and the graces and the mercies of you and your word and your promises. Lord, I know how easy it is to put other things before you. Lord, I know how easy it is to lose focus and sight upon the things that are good and great and that you've provided. But Lord, I pray that today you help us to realize and to understand the reality of who you are and what you do. Lord, help us to see that if we are burdened, if we're stressed, that, Lord, we can come unto you, that we can learn from you, that your burden is easy and light, Lord. Father, I just pray that this message speak boldly to our hearts today. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here beneath the sound of my voice who's never known you in the free pardon of sin, that, Lord, before it's everlasting too late, that they'll come, they'll give their heart and their life to you and be saved. Lord, I know that sin can be one of our greatest life's burdens. Well, Lord, you tell us and you make a promise that if we come to you, you'll forgive us of all of our sin, all of our unrighteousness, so we can be saved. And Lord, with that, we can have true spiritual peace. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's a Christian here who just needs you, needs your leadership, Lord, needs your guidance, Lord, just needs your help, needs your comfort, that, Lord, this message speak to their hearts. And Lord, even before this message is over, that, Lord, they'll be crying out unto you, just seeking you and you alone. Father, Lord, I pray that you but use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool, and nothing more, for your honor and for your glory. It's all about you and what you choose to do through me. So, Lord, we'll place it here at the foot of the cross. It's in your name we pray it. Amen. You know, I tend to find that stress is one of those things that can be a very positive or a very negative. When I was in school, high school, and even in college, stress was one of those things that helped me to achieve and to do well. Some of you all may be able to relate to this analogy. Basically, my idea of test studies was to start the night before. That was just the way that I studied for tests. And I want to tell you why, because if I started 2 or 3 days before, I couldn't focus. I couldn't focus on what I was studying. I couldn't focus on what I needed to do. But if I started the day before, I was going to have enough stress in my life that I could really focus in and understand the material, look to the material, and I was able to study very efficiently. So in those aspects, sometimes stress can be a very good thing. Stress can be a motivating thing in our life. You know, when we get stressed about things, we'll be motivated to do and to act. So in some senses, stress can be a very positive thing. In the other sense of the spectrum, as I got older and became an adult, I learned the very negative aspects of stress and what stress can do for us in our personal lives. Everybody here has been affected by stress. If you're an adult, if you pay bills, if you have a family, if you have a spouse, if you have a business, if you have a job, if you just suffer from bad health, if you any of those things, if you've experienced it, then you know what stress is. And stress is something that can be very negative. Stress is something that can come in and take over our lives. It can cause us to have anxiety. It can lead us to things like depression. Stress can cause us to feel like there's a sense of hopelessness, as if we can never overcome, that we'll never get out of this moment or this season. Stress is one of those things that can lead us to have bad, not just mental, emotional health, but stress is one of those things that can lead us to have bad physical health. Studies medically show that people who are more stressed tend to have problems like heart disease, and it leads to other associated diseases like hypertension or high blood pressure. Stress is a very negative thing physically, but emotionally and spiritually, stress is something that can harm our spiritual lives. Stress is one of those things that can keep us from turning to God. Stress is one of those things that can make us feel like maybe God's not there and God's not listening. Stress is one of those things that can keep us from being able to effectively study the Word of God. Stress is one of those things that can demotivate us from being involved in church. Stress can do so much in the negative aspect. But what is it that can make stress negative? And how do we cause it? What brings it on? You know, I was reading this week and I found two things that tend to really sum up how we would describe the causes of stress. One author basically said that one of our greatest causes of stress is the result of aggression. And I'm not talking like the aggression where we talk about, you know, he made me mad, I'm ready to fight. I'm talking about the aggression of wanting something and wanting it now. We live in a society that says you deserve it. You should achieve it. You should seek it. And to a point, I understand that. In a point, I can relate and understand. But you know what? So many of us have gotten this attitude of instant gratification. We don't know where to stop. We don't know what's unhealthy anymore. And we have this aggression to try to do everything in our own time, when we want it, and how we want it. We're an aggressive society when it comes to those things. The second thing that this author basically shared about was our arrogance. Our arrogance can lead us to suffer from great stressful situations because we as human beings say, I can handle that. I can handle another load. I can handle another ministry. I can handle another job. I can handle this other thing in my life. How many of you are guilty of it? Everybody, raise your hand. You're all guilty of saying those things. We're all guilty of that arrogance of putting on more than what we can really handle, what we should be willing to put upon ourselves. How many of us become aggressive? Want more, want more, want more. And as we want more, we strive to achieve more. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, we all have those attitudes. But here Christ in Matthew 11, He gives us this imagery and this symbolism of a yoke. Let's look at verse 28 one more time. Verse 28, He says, "Come to me, all of you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So I guess, is there anybody here who labors and is heavy laden? Anybody? Amen. I think most of us are. Most of us suffer from those things in our life that grieve us, that weigh on our minds, that weigh on our hearts. So if you're here and this thing applies to you, as Christ is speaking then, He's speaking to us now, if you're heavy laden, if you've got a labor about you, He says, come and I'll give you rest. And then He says in verse 29, He gives us this illustration. He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. He says, I'll give you rest, not just physically. He says, but I'll give you rest in your souls if you'll but take my yoke upon you. And He uses this symbolism of a yoke to help us understand how we can manage some of our stresses in life and also have a greater relationship with Him. First off, it's important to understand if we look at the translation of this story and look at the historical aspects behind it, He's not talking about a yoke like you would carry a water pail with, but rather He's talking literally about a yoke. And if you have ever farmed much in your life, you'll understand the illustration of yoking like you would two oxen together. Now, many of you probably haven't farmed with oxen, but maybe horses, and you can relate to yoking two horses or two mules together. But here in the New Testament, in this period, some several thousand years ago, more commonly they would have yoked oxen together. And as they yoked these two animals together, it was easy to plow a field or to pull a cart or to do something industrious of that nature. So here Christ is using this illustration of yoking up these two animals together. He says, take upon my yoke and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly, and you'll find rest in my soul. You know, it's kind of interesting to me that Christ uses this illustration of yoking these animals together, which is commonly done to do a labor or to do a work. But I think the very first thing that Christ gives us in this symbol and this imagery of a yoke is that it represents a partnership. Amen? It represents a partnership. Take upon you my yoke. Now, Christ isn't saying, I'm going to put this yoke on you. He says, take upon my yoke. He's talking about a partnership. So literally, Christ is telling us, come and be yoked together with me. Yoked together with me. He's talking about a partnership, one with another. And we see when we're partnered together with Christ in life and in labor and in love, we really don't have to worry about anything, do we? Because Christ is a great sustainer. He's a great sustainer. He says, I'm not going to make you go through anything alone. I'm not going to make you endure life's troubles, life's burdens, life's stresses, life's tragedies and hardships all on your own. Christ is telling us, come and labor with me together. He's saying, come and partner with me one unto another. He is the greatest sustainer that has ever been. Psalms chapter 55, verse 22, he expresses it this way. He says, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you, and He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. Or as the King James Version says, the righteous to fall. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. We have a partnership in the Lord that is unlike to anything else in this world. Unlike to anything else. And I'm talking about even the relationship that you have with your life partner, your spouse. The person that you call your husband or the person that you call your wife. The partnership that we have in Christ is even greater than that marriage and even greater than that love. Because people in this world will fail you. Even the people that you love the most, and I'm not trying to put into your heart that your spouse is out to get you or that they're not going to be there for you and they're not going to love you and help you. I'm not telling you that, but I'm telling you this, that God, through Christ, is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to be the partner who's going to be steadfast and be with you forever. He said unto His disciples, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. He says, take upon you my yoke and I will partner with you. And He says, I'll sustain you. Cast your burdens upon me. I will sustain you. One of the greatest problems that we have in life and one of the greatest reasons that we have stress is because we fail to take our burdens to the Lord. The Lord says, I am your partner. Be yoked with me. He says, I'm here for you. Cast your burdens on me. He said, if you'll cast your burdens on me, I'll see to it that you never fall, that you're never moved. He is the great sustainer. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. He says, God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide this way of escape that you may be able to endure it. There's nothing that you've ever been through that some other man before you or some other man in this time hasn't endured before. Nothing that you've ever been through that Christ, that God doesn't know about. He says there'll never be anything placed upon you that you cannot escape from it, that you may be able to endure it. I hear this verse misquoted egregiously so much by so many people. I hear people quote and misquote all of the time. Well, God says He's never going to put on anything that you can't handle. Well, that's not what it says. Because I want to promise you this. I will assure you this. There are all kinds of things in this life that you cannot handle. Amen? There's all kinds of things in life that you can't handle. There's all kinds of things in my life that I cannot handle.
But a lot of people forget the second emphasis on this is he says he'll provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it or to overcome it, as some of the other versions would say. The Lord says there's always a means of escape. You don't have to sin. You don't have to fall into it. Why? Because there's always a means to escape, and you can endure it. He says, I will sustain you through the season. I'll help you to overcome. The yoke is a symbol of our partnership with Christ, being linked together with Him. Anybody ever tried to yoke up two animals that didn't work very well together? George Day, you probably have. Probably one of the few in here that has lived and been blessed to have lived long enough to remember those days and to remember that lifestyle. Yoke doesn't work very well if you've only got one animal that's willing to work, does it? Not well at all. And sometimes it is more of a disaster having two animals yoked together that simply cannot work together. Christ, in one other illustration of yoking together, he says, believers, do not yoke yourselves together with the unbelievers. Why? Because of the vast differences between you, it'll be hard to be partnered together. The yoke is a symbol of a great partnership. And Christ says, come and partner with me. He says, cast your burden upon me. And he says, I'll sustain you. He says, I'll provide a way of escape. I'll provide you a means of enduring it. But do not believe for a moment that there's things in this life that you can handle all on your own. You can't do it without Christ. You can't do it without that greater partnership in Him. But there's not just a symbol of partnership that we see. Here in these verses in Matthew, we also see a symbolism of the yoke as a representation of God's control. Of God's control. You see, if your partnership together in Christ, who's holding the reins? Who's holding the reins? Well, most assuredly, God. God's the one who's actually in control. It doesn't do you much good to yoke two animals together if you're going to let the animals be in control. You've got to have somebody who knows what they're doing on the other end of the reins to make those two animals who are partnered together to be effective. And the symbolism of the yoke truly does represent God's control. If we come together and we're partnered together in Christ and we allow God to be in control, God can do great and mighty things in our lives. Amen? If God truly is in control, I have no fear in my heart. If God is truly in control, I have no worry in my heart. If God is truly in control, there's no reason for stress. Why? Because God is in control. He's the one in the driver's seat. He's the one holding the reins. You know, if we think about God and His great ability, His great power, and His great control, it really is something that ought to make us just feel better. Amen? If we think about the fact that there's nothing in life that doesn't happen without God's oversight, there's nothing in life that does not happen that God is not in the mercy seat of control, it ought to give us a reassurance. We ought not to have fear and anxiety when we know that God is in control. Paul talks about God's control in Romans chapter 8 and verses 38 and 9. He says, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Above all, God is in control of His love and His mercy and His grace that He implies and that He sends to each and every one of us. He is in control. There is nothing on the face of this earth, He says, there's nothing in the way of things above this earth, between heaven or hell, that can separate us or take us away from the love of God. That's the power and the control of God's mercy, grace, and love. That nothing can separate us from it. Ever. That's the control and the power of God. That is the God that we serve. You know, sometimes I read about God and I read about His control. I read about the fact of everything that He does, everything that He promises, how He gives all of these assurances, and I read verses like this.
that there's neither height nor depth nor anything in all of creation that could separate me from God's love. When I read about that kind of control, it just does something to me, something that I can't even describe. It makes me feel as if there is really a God who really does love and who really does care, and who loves and cares so much that He's not going to allow anything to separate me from Him. That's the God that I love. That's the God whom I have entrusted my heart and my life into through His Son, Jesus Christ. That yoke is a symbol of control. I come and I partner myself with Christ. He says, cast your burdens on me. He says, come and take upon my yoke, for my burden is easy. He says, come and yoke yourself together with me. But it's a symbolism of control, of allowing God to take the reins. You know why we get stressed out? You know why we become burnt out? Do you know why we get so frustrated? It's because we do not allow God to be in control. We want to come together. We want to partner with Christ. We want to take on that yoke. But then we don't want to allow God to be in control. We don't want Him to be the sovereign, true God that He is. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, we serve a God that never leaves us, never forsakes us. We serve the God who chooses to partner with us. We serve the God who wants us just to submit unto Him. He says, submit unto me. He says, and I'll be with you wherever you go. He says, you don't have to be frightened. You don't have to be dismayed. You don't have to be in chaos because I'm with you. And furthermore, He started out this verse by saying, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? It's hard to be strong and courageous and to not be frightened and to not be dismayed and to not be confused if we fail to let God take control. When we let God be in control, we don't have to fear. And He commands us, be strong and courageous and don't fear and don't be dismayed. Don't be confused. Don't be distraught. I am in control. The very final thing that I've seen in the symbolism of Christ in these verses talking about this yoke is it's not just a yoke and a symbol of God's control. It's not just a symbol of His partnership with us, but I see this yoke truly as a symbol of humility. If you are going to allow God to take control, if you're going to partner with Christ in that yoke, then you truly have to have humility. You know, it's about just submitting unto Him. It's about just saying, God, here I am, and here it is. Brother George, you got to break that animal to go in that yoke, don't you? Anybody ever tried to ride a horse that's not saddle broken? I can say that I've experienced that as a kid. My granddad raised a lot of horses, and you know, they always thought it was funny to stick you on one that hadn't been saddle broke. You know, it's a good joke till somebody falls off and breaks a bone, you know. And then it's just funny after the fact. But that was just the family I was raised in. But I've experienced those things. You get on an animal that's not saddle broken, they just go crazy, all right? I'll tell you how it is. It's hard to yoke animals together and ask them to pull a plow or a cart when you've never broke that animal to take that yoke on. You can't do it. Animals like that, they're just not bred, and most of them just aren't meant to take on a yoke or to put on a saddle and to bear the burden of pulling that plow or pulling that cart or pulling that wagon or bearing a saddled rider. It's a symbolism of humility. You got to be broken. You got to break it in order for that animal to take a yoke or to take a saddle. And I believe in order to even take that yoke and to be partnered with Christ, we really have to be broken. We really have to be broken. We really have to be humble. We have to make the decision that God's going to be in control. And in order to surrender control, it truly takes humility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. He says, humble yourselves. If we'll be honest with each other, most of us, our greatest problems lie within those two words. Humble yourself. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. He says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares about you. Humble yourself. Stop being aggressive. Stop trying to take the world on all by yourself. Stop being arrogant. Stop saying, I can handle one more job. I can handle one more ministry. I can handle one more workload. Because I'm going to tell you, I can't handle any more ministries. I can't handle any more workloads. I cannot do it. I'm reaching that point in my life where I am learning overwhelmingly to say the word no. I want to tell you something. It's okay to tell your children no, mom and dad. It's all right. I grew up hearing it constantly. No. And it made me a better man for it. I'll be honest. It made me a better man for it. I was loved and I was cared for. Never had a need that was never met in my life. But my parents told me no. Husbands, it's not a good idea to tell your wife no. Wives, it's okay to tell your husbands no. But guys, think hard on it before you say the two-letter word such as that. Church, it's okay to say no. If you're not called to do it, don't do it. God's not leading you, say no. It's okay to tell your brothers and sisters in Christ, no, God's not calling me to do that. It's not my ministry. It's not what God wants me to do. A lot of times we get wound up into things because people ask us and we just can't say no. And as your pastor, I love you, but if I tell you no, don't get upset with me. Don't be disheartened. Don't feel this because I don't love you, don't care about you. But if I tell you no, I promise you there's a reason behind it. I get a little bit too stressed out sometimes. Last year we were out for one snow day and I took one vacation on a Sunday morning. I preached 50 Sunday mornings last year. You know what? That's probably a little bit much. I'll just be straight and I'll just be honest with you. It's probably a little bit much. Spend so much time looking and writing and reading. It's not because I don't love you and it's not because I'm not called to preach. But sometimes we just have to take time that we rest. That we rest spiritually, that we rest emotionally. And for me, rest is not about watching more TV. It's not about being lazy. It's not about sitting on the couch. And if you know me, it's not even about not wanting to fish or doing the hobbies that are good. It's not about needing to do more of those things. It's about just taking time for me and for my family to grow together and to grow in our relationship with God. And you know what? You should too. Taking time for rest is not about that expensive vacation to the beach. Maybe it's just about you spending time with your family, with your wife, with your children, and just loving each other and loving God. Amen? Amen. You don't have to spend so much money on a vacation. Those aren't the things that really bring happiness in life. But yoking yourself to Christ and taking upon His light and easy burden is. But it takes humility. It takes humility, humbling ourselves and casting all of our anxieties upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. Philippians 2, 5 through 8, and we're going to close quickly. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He says, but He made Himself nothing, taking upon the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He says, in being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The greatest example of humility is Christ Jesus. Christ, who was equal with God, born of God, the Son of God, one who was with God from the beginning of all time, didn't count himself equal as God. He came and he was born of men. And it says he humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross, the death of a prisoner, a death that was shameful. Christ made himself obedient even to that. If Christ can humble himself, Christ who is the Son of God, Christ who is perfect, if he can humble himself to die a sinner's death, I believe we can humble ourselves to be more faithful, obedient servants unto God. Amen. If Christ can humble himself, we can. As the praise and worship team comes, as we close out this service, if God is speaking to your heart, if God is leading you, if God is calling you, would you not come and respond to His Word? Would you not come and utilize this altar? Maybe you just need to come and pray for His leadership. Maybe you just need to come and pray for comfort. Maybe you need to come and pray, Lord, show me how to lay down my anxieties. Lord, show me how to lay down my stresses and my burdens. Lord, show me to have a life that is more centered on You rather than centered on self. Maybe you just need to come and pray for family, for friends. I don't know, but however God is leading you, you come. Maybe you're here today and you've never known the grace, the mercy, and the love of God. There's no way in this life, no way in this world that you can have true peace and ever allow God to be in control if you've never known Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And it's simple enough as this, is coming and believing in your heart that Christ is who that He says that He is, knowing that He's the Son of God, admitting and knowing that, believing that in your heart and confessing your sins. He says that He's faithful and just and willing to forgive us if we but confess our sins. If you believe that Christ is who that He says that He is, the Son of the living God, if you believe that He came and died for you, if you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you can be saved. You come, be obedient this morning. Father, Lord, as we close out this service, I pray that Your Spirit leads us unto obedience. Lord, I pray that it leads us to humility. Lord, I pray that it leads us to You being in control. Lord, I pray that we truly look at our relationship with You truly as a partnership, Lord, where we're not relying on self, but Lord, we're relying on You for You to lead us, for You to guide us. We're relying upon Your strength. Lord, help us to understand that there's so much in this life we cannot do alone. Lord, help us to understand that if we'll but come to You and trust in You, that we don't have to do it alone. That You provide us an escape, that You provide us a means to overcome and to sustain. Lord, You tell us that You are the great sustainer. Lord God, I pray that we but trust in You and in You alone. Lord, if it be Your will, I pray that You just continue to grow our church. Lord, that You continue to multiply us, that we continue to do Your great will here. Lord, I pray that You just make us a healthy church above all. So it's in this we pray in Your name. Amen.